One thing I was doing, I would walk into game stores, and I have this rule back then, and I have it today, that anytime I walk into a game store, I have to support them because I understand what it is they're going through. But if I ever had a chance to speak to the owner there, I would always ask him, what is something that you regret doing?
And hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Match Slip Podcast. I'm your host, Frank Angeloni. And on this episode, we'll be talking to Darnell, who owns Anubis Games, located in Lafayette, Louisiana. Before we bring Darnell onto the program, I wanted to remind you all that you could check out our most recent episode with Spencer, the owner of Magnolia Games, located in Troy, Alabama. But with that said, let's get into today's episode and bring Darnell into the program. Darnell, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure to have you on. So you're located in Louisiana, Darnell. How long have you had the store located in Lafayette?
We had it approximately, September 25th is going to make 3 years we've been in Lafayette, and 6 years we've been open in total.
And prior to Lafayette, where were you situated with the business at that point in time?
We was in a neighboring city called Broussard, Louisiana. It's a bit smaller. Lafayette is kind of the hub of our parish, and Broussard is kind of on the outskirts of it.
And what drew you to being a game store owner and to get into this industry?
You know, I ask myself that question all the time, you know. No, you know, back in 2016, you know, my career, I was a welder. And I said I didn't want to stay in this field forever, so I was looking for other things to do. And my first thought was a game store, but I saw other stores in the area. I said, man, I definitely don't want to do this. And it was actually another store in Bainbridge, Georgia. If you don't mind, I'd like to give them a shout out. Eternity Portal in Georgia made me change my mind. And that was the root of what made me open up a game store. You know, I've always been passionate about a plethora of games, you know, and I just wanted to bring that feeling to Lafayette.
And what did that store in Georgia say or do that encouraged you to make the jump?
They made my visit feel unique to me. Like they catered what they did for me, you know, and I never felt that way in a game store before. And I've been to a bunch, but you know, I got that feeling like I was important to them. You know, they were small, you know, they just were so inviting to me. They would sit down and we would just talk about random things. And I love that friendly family atmosphere that they had there.
And at this point now that you've taken that and brought it into your own store, what was the, I guess, origin story of how the store was born? Like from the naming of the store to when you decided I want this to be a brick and mortar, did it all originate off of that conversation with the store in Georgia?
It didn't. So what wound up happening first, we started online, you know, very small, just selling stuff on eBay here and there. And then we opened up at a flea market for a little while. And my wife said, you know, we would probably do much better if we had a brick and mortar store. And I agreed with her. And so we did. The name came about. I had a terrible name. I was going to name it at first. Terrible logo. And the word Anubis kept coming to my mind. It's just a word that looks cool when I look at it. And I wanted to go to some African influences that I had. And so I said, I think Anubis would look cool. It's recognizable. It's brandable. So we can build upon that. And my wife loved it. You know, as you can see, my wife gives me the okay for a lot of decisions I make. So, you know, she liked it and we moved forward from there. I mean, and when we started, I mean, we didn't have much money at all. We didn't even have a floor really in the Broussard location, but we just, you know, we stayed there 7 days a week for about 7 months before we got a 30-minute break to go get some hot dogs. That was our only break my wife and I had in them first 7 months. and extremely tiring and exhausting that was.
So is it just you and your wife running the store? Do you have any other employees?
We have employees now. We have a great team now, but for the first 7 months, it was just us two, just running back and forth. You know, we wanted to keep as much money in-house as possible so we can bring in more products. Because when we started, we didn't have anything. We barely had singles. We had a few board games here and there. We had a few starter decks, you know, just the absolute basics. We didn't have D&D in the store. We couldn't afford it. We didn't have too many board games. We didn't have any Warhammer. It was all stuff we couldn't afford. We just had to kind of work within our means and build it up until we could afford those things.
When did you start to notice that the business started to see itself through where you could afford to venture into those games that may have been at arm's reach early on due to having to conserve the money before you were at the point where you felt comfortable delving into that?
Well, one thing, my wife was doing our taxes. So one decision we had to make was we had to get an accountant. And once we got an accountant, she started telling us of the things we could start doing. And that's where us hiring people came in and expanding our inventory came in there. So it was a process, but it was just a lot of, you know, uncertainty. I was so scared. I was scared that, you know, something major was going to happen and it would just take out all our finances. And so I was just conserving that money best I could.
You know, Darnell, when you're starting a game store from the beginning, and, you know, everybody in the game store industry I've talked to, and I know you're well aware of this as well, with the margins being so low, I can imagine that being a very scary thing to, you know, have to deal with. In those early days, I could tell it, you know, was definitely a money crunch. What kept you persisting through it? What was keeping you tied to it that you're like, you know what, I'm going to see this through?
I'm going to give you the dead honest answer. The first was the people. You know, people believed in the store and people believed in us, you know, so we wanted to stick it out for them, you know, because they, you know, when people come into your store, sometimes they'll feel misplaced, you know, kind of cast out and feel like an outcast in other areas of their life or other social anything. So this is kind of their comfort place. So you want to stick around for that. And the second answer, very honest, we was tied to a lease and I had already put my money in. You know, I had jumped off the edge. I jumped off the edge and said, I have to build a plane on the way down. Everything I don't know about business, everything I don't know about game stores, I have to learn. I have no choice. It has to get done. So there was a lot of days where I slept there at Anubis. I was tired. I had to get up early the next day. You know, it is rough. And I'm glad you kind of pointed out that the margins are thin, because the margins are not very good in a game store. But, you know, you keep it going because there's a lot of people that appreciate what you do, you know, and appreciate what everybody and your team is doing. So you really want to do your best for them.
You know, when you had mentioned you had to learn various things about the game store industry and just business in general, who were you looking to? What types of things were you doing to help teach yourself the business of a game store to be able to eventually feel confident with being like, okay, this is working out and we're starting to see the fruits of our labor here?
One thing I was doing, I would walk into game stores, and I have this rule back then and I have it today that anytime I walk into a game store, I have to support them because I understand what it is they're going through. But if I ever had a chance to speak to the owner there, I would always ask him, what is something that you regret doing? You know, even when we first started out, if it was our local competitors, you know, I had great rapport with most of our competitors. And I would just ask him, what is a mistake you made here that you wouldn't have done, or something you wish you would have did, or something you glad you did? I would ask them that, and I would get their genuine answers, and I would incorporate all these things that they taught me and implemented it into my store. Another thing is I would just, even outside of our local competition, I would ask people in our Facebook groups, the Small Store Sanctuary, Small Game Store Sanctuary, just awesome resources, you know. So just my store has become an accumulation of all the things I've learned from other people in the same industry throughout the years, and read books. You have to read books, you know, try to get some tailored to your game store, but just all kind of stuff, how it is, what is the psychology of an American consumer. You know, there's a book I was reading called Why We Buy, and it teaches you all kind of stuff there. Taxes was another big thing for me. How to, you know, I was completely clueless with taxes, and you will learn real quick how to write stuff off and all the XYZ 1-2-3s with taxes. But it's a bunch of stuff. It's hard to pinpoint a few specific things, but if I had to say anything, taxes we had to learn on the fly, and just implementing a lot of things that other game stores did and didn't do into Anubis.
What do you feel was the most important piece of advice that those game stores that you were looking to, that you were asking questions of, what was the most important thing that you felt you learned from them that helps you till this day?
Make time for yourself. Make time for yourself. I'll give you a few. Have a plan to scale your business. You know, it's all fun and games whenever everybody's playing, everybody's having fun, but the business side rears its head, and you have to do something because you have to keep the lights on. So you have a plan to scale and diversify. Is two big ones for us, you know. So my day to day in the store, I don't go into the store every day anymore. You know, I just said, you know, we used to spend a lot of our time at the store all the time, just making sure this thing works. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't know if the listeners are other game store owners or if they're people that's interested in opening a game store, just casual people just in general. But, you know, opening up a business is a huge responsibility, you know, and to this day, we opened 6 years ago, and to this day, I'm still in a financial bind, but, you know, behind opening Anubis. I'm glad I did Anubis, and it's working out better than it ever did, but I'm still having to recover. 'Cause those 7 months I was there at the store, I didn't take a paycheck, which is something I regret doing. I should have been paying myself to at least see some fruits of our labor, but I didn't, because I wanted to keep all the money in the store, and that kind of backfired on me to this day. So, I'll say three things. One, diversify your store. That's a big one. Two, have a plan to scale it up. And three, pay yourself immediately. That'd be my three things that I learned.
And since you're not in the store every day like you used to be, granted in the beginning, completely understandable, you know, you're building something from the ground up, and, you know, there's nobody else that the business relies on besides yourself. Otherwise, it can't grow. So now that you've built an employee base, you are seeing yourself through now, even with the hard times that are involved with owning a small business. From a day-to-day standpoint, when you are involved with doing stuff with the store, what's your primary role these days?
Honestly, it's just making sure the bills are paid. You know, I had worked alongside our current manager, and, you know, just taught her different things. And I give my team the leverage to express themselves within the store and within reason. So with our manager, I allow her to experiment with ordering, you know. So if she sees a product that she's interested in that we normally wouldn't carry, I'll say, go get it. You know, let's see how it works. If it's something you're passionate about, bring it in. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but that's okay. You know, and that's just one of those tactics that I have with my store. You know, I want them to feel like this store is theirs. They own a piece of this store, and their input matters here. And that's that's helped out a lot. There's mistakes that happens all the time in the store. But all I really do, my true day to day, you know, I make sure all the bills are paid, make sure all my employees are paid. And I don't really deal with the day to day stuff anymore like that. I don't do the ordering anymore. You know, I don't do the register anymore. You know, we have a solid team that is consistent now. So, you know, I don't know if they're listening, but shout out to the Anubis Games and Hobby team. They do an excellent job.
I think that's a great thing that you're able to do something that, you know, many business owners may struggle with, which is ceding the control and being able to put the trust in your employees to carry out the day-to-day business, because you're the initial vision for the store. You're the one who started it up. And then as you grow, you bring in employees on. So how did you become comfortable with being able to be like, okay, I have this employee who I trust. I'm willing to let them do their thing. How did you come about being comfortable doing that when not every business owner may have that comfort level?
I was forced to. So I was hired, you know, I was still going to the store in 2020, and then COVID happened. And, you know, I wasn't really making much money from Anubis. So I absolutely had to make some money. I had to. So the person who is our manager now was running the store on our behalf, you know, and she would contact me and we would talk about things, but COVID forced me to take a backseat, and cause I had to, you know, pay my bills at home, and I just couldn't. So that the brutally honest answer.
So it was pretty much, you had to adjust with the circumstances presented in front of you.
Right. You know, we was closed for 2 weeks, Anubis that was. And when we did reopen, we would allow one person in at a time. So, you know, and in Louisiana, people wasn't receptive to the mask policy. So, you know, we got a lot of pushback for that and people that said they'll never come back to us. So, you know, all that took a toll because we're still a small business. But we had to stick to our guns with that one, you know, for everybody involved, you know, during that time. So I had to go into another industry and just make some money or try to make something happen. And we trusted our manager, who's now our manager, to run the store. And she did a great job.
And is she the one that's like managing the events held at the store, like pretty much the overall day to day?
Yes. Yeah. She doesn't work the register anymore. She also just kind of makes sure everything's in line, make sure everything's ordered, make sure everything stays stocked, make sure, you know, if our other team members have any questions, they go to her. She's done everything in the store outside of pay all the bills and stuff and pay the employees. So she has a great understanding of who we are, Anubis, because she was also a player with us before she worked there. You know, so she knows what we're about, what our goals are, what, you know, our core values, what they are. So she has done a phenomenal job with Anubis, taking this whole store into her own, you know, and she makes great crunch time decisions to if I'm not available.
That's great to hear. It definitely alleviates any pressure or nervousness that you might have on your side to know that you have somebody that's capable of doing and carrying out what the store's vision is.
Yeah. And, you know, we try to take care of all our guys best as we can. And if something happens to her, you know, we have somebody else who's also a great representative of Anubis, and he's ready to go out and take the reins. If ever something happens to our manager now, you gotta have I took a class at Gamma called Hit by a Bus Theory, I think it was called. But it's pretty much, if worst case scenario happens, what are you going to do? So we try to have a backup for the backup plan. So Anubis doesn't have to miss a beat.
That makes sense. I mean, you're counting for any possible situations that may alter, you know, the course of what decisions you have to make. So with those decisions in mind, what type of events are you holding these days at Anubis? Do events occur every day during the week, or are there certain days where things are lighter than others in terms of events?
I'll answer your event question. I did want to piggyback off of something I had answered earlier. One of the best things I've learned. Another thing, your location is important. That should have almost been number one. Your location is important. It literally transformed our business. Picking the wrong location almost closed us, and picking the right one has scaled it up tremendously. But the events we hold weekly, Dungeons and Dragons, we hold a Larkana League, we hold a board game night, Digimon nights, we have a Warhammer League going on right now, we have Yu-Gi-Oh going on, and we also hold a Commander night, and we're thinking about bringing back the RCQs. We at the moment we kind of stopped doing them, and I think some of the guys wanted to play because we're one of the few premium stores in Louisiana. I think we're one of three in Louisiana, but we may bring that back. But as of right now, we're still thinking about
would that. You say your store primarily is casual or competitive, or is it a mixture of both in terms of the player base?
It's a mixture depending on the card game. So I feel like our Commander crowd is pretty casual-ish. Our Yu-Gi-Oh crowd is more on the competitive side. We have one of the best players in the southern region. One of our local players has won a YCS in Pasadena. So we're pretty. Shout out to Kobe Short. I believe it was 2019 he won the YCS in Pasadena. So, but it all depends. It's mostly casual.
And you had mentioned that your store is a premium store, and I've talked to a couple of stores on the show who have had that title with their store as well. I know it's quite the ordeal of a process to accumulate that status. What was your experience like with going through the process of having to achieve premium level store?
So I think our process went a little easier than most people. So in 2020, we decided to move to the location we're in now. And I had been in talks with Wizards of the Coast for months, you know, saying, hey, I'm going to design this store in a way that's premium friendly. So we had them kind of guiding us and helping us, and we exchanging ideas, you know, to make it premium. So we was going to be, you know, renovating the store anyway. Let's just renovate it with premium in mind and make it easy, you know, and it wasn't so bad for us. You know, I think it took maybe a month, you know, of just back and forth before it became premium, you know. And the thing I've learned, which is just valuable anyway, when somebody looks at your store, like for us example, if they outside of your store, they see Anubis Games and Hobby outside, when they walk in, they should feel like they're in Anubis Games and Hobby, you know. So we had to do a lot of unique branding that just made sense to just our store, you know. So I took that and I value that information a lot. You know, just everything Egyptian, you know, as much as we can Egyptian themed and Anubis branded things, you know, is around the store. So, I mean, it's an expensive venture, but all in all, worth it.
When it comes to the branding of the store, because you had lightly touched on the Egyptian theme, which I actually really like that concept a lot. Can you talk a little bit about the whole branding concept and how that plays into the marketing efforts of the store?
Yeah. So, you know, some of the things we do, you know, in the store, for example, we have signs, you know, that section off all the different games, you know, board games, our video game section, our trading card section, and those bordering those signs is hieroglyphics, you know? So that's a cool thing with, God, I wish I could send you a picture, but one is like a hieroglyphic with them holding a controller, or another hieroglyphic with a meeple or something, or stuff like that. But branding is just important in business anyway, because, you know, when people outside of gaming think of, you know, Anubis the figure, they'll automatically think of the store, you know, if they know, you know, they'll think about us, you know, or if they our mascot is called Nile. So if they hear about the Nile River, or you know, it'll all come back to their thought process will go to Anubis, you know, as a whole. So it's important to just have a great, a easy way to brand your store, you know, as a whole, to just keep you at the top of people's mind. So they'll come and visit and check you out or whatever. And, you know, anything like that.
Once you have the branding in place, what are some things you like to do for marketing? Is it purely social media, or do you have other avenues that you and your employees like to tackle?
Honestly, it's mostly social media. It's mostly social media and in-store stuff. I like, you know, I really took to heart people walking in and feeling like they're in Anubis. So we try to keep the Egyptian theme kind of going here and there. But mostly everything we put out on videos and social media is going to have Niles in it somewhere. Stuff like that. And all our shirts is going to have stuff like Niles on it. Everything we do, we try to put Niles on it. All our dice that we bring in, we try to put Niles on it. Anything possible in the store, we put our mascot on it.
How did you come up with the Egyptian theme? Like I mentioned, I really like the concept. I've always found that area of history interesting, and it's always entertained me. So I'm curious, from your standpoint, how did you build out that thematic concept for the store?
So how did we build it out? You know, like you're asking, how did we Egyptian theme the store?
Sure. Yeah. So that, and almost how that came to be, like what made you feel like, okay, let's do the store as an Egyptian theme when you were first deciding on that concept.
So it, in all honesty, I wanted an African influence, and the word Anubis just looked good to me, which is very important to me, because when people see it has to look good and brandable. So I was pulling influences from stuff like Subway. You know, Subway is a train, but when you say Subway, you would also think of sandwiches, you know. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that was important. I said, you know, Anubis is a recognizable name. It's a cool looking word. Just as a word, it looks cool. You know, I didn't even think, you know, keep in mind this was six, seven years ago that I was thinking of this concept. So I didn't even think to have it Egyptian theme. I was literally just thinking about the name and the colors, you know, because I wanted a bright color to pop off of black real good. So I picked yellow to make it pop. But when it came down to the premium store, and that's when we got the idea to kind of start adding that within the store, because it was easily brandable. So like I said, we did the signs. We have small statues here and there. In our dice display, we'll have random pyramids and stuff in the store, and just other trinkets that brings you to Egypt. Another thing is all our price tags in our store also have a small hieroglyphic. It may be hard to see, but it does have a hieroglyphic. All our signs that we make personally, all is going to have like a hieroglyphic around it. We really tried to dig into the, we just came short of having sand on the floor. And I asked my wife, I did think to have sand on the floor. And my wife said, that's a terrible idea. I said, yeah, you probably.
But I just love the, how you went pretty much all in with this concept, and you pretty much were able to bring to life the concept and then bring that concept to reality, which I think, you know, shows the sentiment and the fortitude that you've put forward to really build out your store and the vision that you had set out for it.
You know, I didn't have that kind of foresight to think that it was going to work out this way. I really thought African influence and a cool word. And that's where it started. That's honestly where it started. And it just worked out extremely well, I guess.
I'm glad to hear it's worked out very well. I wanted to touch on, because you had went to the location a little earlier, and I was kind of intrigued on the location idea too, in terms of it being important with, you know, owning any business, not just a game store. But what about the location you have, do you feel has given the rise of Anubis and the ability for it to flourish and be successful, as opposed to had you not chosen that location? Why did this location work so well?
Let me go down a small punch list of things I was looking for in a new location. The first thing was an anchor store, right? So in our old location, we were the anchor store in our shopping center. You know, we was the go-to place. There was nothing else around but us, you know? So I didn't want that responsibility to be the anchor store anymore, you know, because another thing we didn't have at the old location was walking traffic, which, you know, was one of the things on this new location. So in our new location, we actually have three anchor stores in almost our same parking lot. We have a Walmart across the street. We have a Dollar General, which is in the same shopping center. And we also have a GameStop kind of in the same shopping center. So all three of those kind of work together in a sense and that was one of the things I said, oh, this is going to be a real good spot, especially if we're going to have video games here. We already have a good rapport with that GameStop, you know, so, and they advertise for us all the time, just willingly. So, you know, people come all the time from GameStop and come shop with us or trade in their stuff to us. The second thing is walking traffic, being that it's a lot of movement going on in our shopping center. You know, we do get a little bit of that. And we want it to be off a busy highway. We have four streets four major streets, and we're off of one of them. So, and that also was a big deal to me. So, those are a few of the things I had looked into when picking that location. You know, the anchor stores, the street access, walking traffic.
We're going to take a quick break from this podcast to talk about our sponsor, Cardboard Shuffle. Cardboard Shuffle was our 10th podcast interview here at the Match Slip with store owner Mark. Mark has expanded his brand and has produced his own card sleeves called Shuffle Shields. Shuffle Shields come in packs of 100 premium matte card sleeves for standard size trading cards. They contain no PVC and are acid free. I have 17 packs of Shuffle Shields card sleeves to give away to listeners of the podcast and followers of the Match Slip on social media. Requests for a free pack of card sleeves shipped for free to you will be processed on a first-come, first-served basis. To receive your free pack of Shuffle Shields, you'll need to send a screenshot that you're following Cardboard Shuffle on Facebook to frank@thematchslip.com. Good luck, and back to the episode.
I was just curious, in terms of where you guys are located in Louisiana, for somebody like me who's only been there once and may not be familiar with the various landmarks in the state, in terms of the major hub city areas in the state, where would you describe your location and proximity to those spots?
So the main hubs, I think Lafayette is the fifth biggest city in Louisiana, you know, and we're under New Orleans and Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge is about an hour drive away. New Orleans is about a 2-hour drive away from us. One of the things I would say, it's unfortunate COVID kind of closed it, so I don't even have this to piggyback off of, but Lafayette had the last Popeyes buffet, you know, and I don't know if Popeyes is in everybody's area like that, but I think it's nationwide at least. But yeah, Lafayette, Louisiana had the last Popeyes buffet and COVID closed it. Shaq was here actually recently, a couple of days ago. He owns real estate in Lafayette. Yeah, he was here a couple of days ago. He went to our Lafayette's Best Buy and just, I think he spent upwards of $60,000 in the store. But he owns if I'm not mistaken, he owns a house in Lafayette. So, you know, we do have that too. But honestly, Lafayette has big city features, but it's actually a smaller city. I think we're about 100,000 population, you know, so we still have a lot of growing to do, you know, but all in all, the things that makes us great is we have all the big city amenities with a lower population, you know, if you don't really like the movement of New Orleans and the busyness of Baton Rouge, I think Lafayette is the best place, you know, if you still want it to be a city that feels like a big city, I guess.
I see what you mean. It's kind of like a quieter, almost like a suburb type location.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing we also have that's unique to us is Festival International, which people from all over the world come to Festival International, and just you'll get people from Africa and all these bands that come in and play, and all the food that is everywhere from all kind of different places. And we hold that once a year. So that's another cool thing about Lafayette and our Mardi Gras parades. Our Mardi Gras parades are safe here. So, you know, not so much violence at our stuff. We're very family friendly in Lafayette.
That's good to hear. And with your store, what would you say in terms of between the buying and the selling that goes on, what is doing the majority of the revenue for the store? Is it stuff like this buying, the buying and selling of the sealed product? Is it the buying and selling of the singles? I'm curious as to what you're seeing from your side is the most profitable end to help grow the store's revenue.
It's the singles, and then followed by TCG sealed product, then video games, and then probably Gundam models would be fourth. With on the rise, quickly on the rise, is Warhammer for us. So we recently tried to dig a little deeper into 40K, and that is on the rise at an alarming rate. So that's on the rise now.
The sealed product is what I always hear is the biggest difficulty with game stores because of the margins, as we talked about a little bit earlier, being so low. Is bringing in the other games like Warhammer 40K or Dungeons and Dragons, the selling of the singles, I'm assuming that is what helps offset the low margins that result from the sealed product.
It does. So to all the people to everybody's listening, listen, if you love your game store, let me say this up front. Dice is some of our biggest margins. Go to your game store and just buy some dice. You know, it's some of the better margins we could experience in there. And even that's not amazing, but it's better than what we normally get. So I'm not sure, you know, I'll go into numbers if you wanted to for the sealed product, but.
Sure, you can if you're comfortable.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. So what we try to do, you know, and this is low, but we try to have a margin. You know, we try to sell at a margin of 40% in the store. You know, just if it's going to be under 40%, we don't even want to bring it in. Unfortunately, TCG is one of those that falls right under it. So booster packs, we can probably get 40%, you know, which is fine. Booster boxes, we try to get 30%. You know, which is a little lower, but we're kind of okay with that. But recently, you know, we do have to combat at least a little bit Amazon prices. And of course, you know, Wizards of the Coast is selling their product on Amazon, and we can't really beat Wizards of the Coast, you know. So we really do our best we can. And the last product, I think we barely pushed 20%. Margin on it, so that, you know, it as a whole, it makes me want to order Magic less, unfortunately, you know, because you figured if you could put X amount of dollars into a product, you'd rather put it in a higher margin product.
Sure.
You know, so and just kind of push that. And at the moment, you know, Warhammer's margins are okay, but they're still not ideal either.
What would you say is the struggles with Magic right now? I'm starting to hear that a lot from various stores, and even hearing it from the player base as well. But from a store standpoint, what are some of the struggles that you're experiencing there?
Let me see. I think I can give you two off the top of my head. One is that we have to compete with them, you know. So being that they make these products and they're pushing direct to consumer through them, you know, with them, and we're pretty much forced to compete with them, you know, which, you know, drives our prices down and our margins down, unfortunately. So, you know, we'd love to give our consumers the best price we could possibly give them. but we do have to keep the lights on. We do have to pay employees. And if you have a play space that's free like ours is, we do have to pay for that space too, because that real estate does cost money. You know, even if you just come in, sit down, it costs money to have that space there. So Wizards kind of makes that a little harder, as, you know, we're competing with them. I'll also say Arena kind of hurt too. So I don't know if you'll have an answer for this. I've asked other stores and I never got a solid answer. So the three major TCGs being Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, and Magic. When Master Duel for Yu-Gi-Oh came out, we saw an increase in player participation when that came out. Pokemon has had an online game for a while, you know, and during COVID, we saw a huge spike in Pokemon. And for us, and I'm pretty sure with a lot of other stores, when Arena came out, our player base died. You know, we couldn't fire Standard for anything. And draft is all but dead in our area. You know, we have people that come in and ask about it, but we don't have people that show up for it. So, you know, I feel like I don't want to sit there and say Wizards doesn't have retailers' best interests at heart, but they do things that is just counterintuitive to retailers. Another thing I'll say that hurts us is overprinting of different Magic products. Like the customer is wallet fatigued, we're wallet fatigued. Like it's just too much too often, you know. And, you know, you'll have a set that does really, really well in that short time frame, and then something that does poorly, such as like Commander Legends last year did poorly for us. Because something else, I forget what it was, that released right by it, but that was the thing. And then Commander Legends just was meh.
Would you say the product is probably the biggest piece of costs when it comes to the game store? I'm sure, you know, salaries and paying the employees is part of it. I'm curious if there's any unique aspect that I may not be thinking of that a cost involved with running the game store to keep the lights on. What is something there that you would say is probably an overlooked item on the balance sheet?
Well, it'd probably be one that I stated earlier. You know, we do have a lot of stores have a free to play space. You know, some have transitioned to where you come in and pay to play, but ours is still free. But, you know, that real estate could be used to sell other products or anything else. So I think just a space where people could just come in and play without any intention on purchasing anything at all, just come in and just enjoy the atmosphere and, you know, just want to play some games, you know, does have a cost to it.
Of course. Was the free-to-play concept something you had thought of implementing, like from the very beginning of Anubis?
Yeah, it is. And it's one we still hold, you know. We was fortunate that we negotiated a really decent lease, you know, and we try to stretch it long-term as much as we could, you know, so that kind of helps it a little bit, but you know, that's not going to always go in our favor. So as leases expire, you know, and they know that your customers know where you are and they're comfortable here and this is where they're accustomed to going, landlords know that. So as the years go by, they increase the rent, you know. So, you know, and that's just business in general though. So that was one of the reasons we moved out the old store. Because, I mean, it got astronomical what they was asking. I'm like, we don't do that kind of business here. So, but this is going to happen here too.
To increase the business coming into the store, do you do anything like conventions or like not necessarily, you know, doing national conventions, like traveling to other states, but do you do any local conventions to help get the name out to bring in new customers outside of the regulars?
We do. We have a Comic-Con that comes to Lafayette, although when COVID happened, there was some wires mixed up somewhere. So we kind of lost communication there, you know, cause they had to cancel it and redo it and cancel, you know, and it became a mess. So we haven't been back to Comic-Con since, 2019. But we do have a couple local conventions that we would go to. We have a board game festival coming up soon. So we always attend the Southern Board Game Festival. We have the LeetCon that's in November. It's kind of like Lafayette's own convention. So we attend that. But outside of conventions, I'm gonna be honest. Everything else has been word of mouth. One thing I do try is whenever I go out, I always wear the Anubis shirt, whether I'm there, you know, just doing errands for Anubis or just out casually doing whatever it is. I try to walk out with a Anubis shirt so people can see it in. Yeah. So I try not to leave the house without an Anubis
shirt. Very smart. When you do go to these conventions, is it purely from a branding standpoint? Is it to be able to buy product, or is it purely just like seeing how much business you can generate from it? Because I know there's the cost of, you know, setting up at these events, then, and the cost can get pretty high. So I'm curious from your standpoint, what your ultimate goal is for attending these types of conventions.
A lot of times it's not so much branding, you know, because a lot of people that go to the conventions found out about the convention through us. You know, we do put the convention stickers on our doors and our windows and all that. So they found out about us. So branding is probably on the smaller end. To be honest, you know, we want to bring products. We like to bring products that are kind of not moving so well out there, and see if there's any interest for it out there, you know, just anybody else. And we get a lot of luck with that. But we found that, you know, dice and Gundams do best at a convention. So whenever we do a convention, we kind of focus on those two things now.
And what's your favorite game to play these days when you have some time to yourself, or, you know, with your wife, or, you know, any friends or anything like that? What is your favorite thing to play?
At the moment, I'm going to be honest, I've had just a random resurgence of Yu-Gi-Oh! Lately. I haven't played Yu-Gi-Oh! Like that in over, God, maybe 20 years, to be honest. I haven't really played Yu-Gi-Oh! Like that. The other thing that I enjoy playing is Gloomhaven. So I'm working my way to Frosthaven.
What's that game? I don't know if I'm familiar with it.
Gloomhaven?
Yeah, I don't believe I've heard of it before.
Oh, it's a board game. It's a role-playing board game where we're in the Jaws of the Lion. Jaws of the Lion is kind of their tutorial to get to the Gloomhaven and the Frosthaven, but it's an awesome role-playing game where they give you a bunch of scenarios. It's kind of like if Dungeons and Dragons was a board game, kind of. You could go out and buy items.
Oh, okay.
More of a streamlined version of Dungeons and Dragons. Let me say that. But there's different scenarios, and you have to go through the map and kill the enemies. And then once you're done with that, you collect your coin, spend your money on items, and then you go into the next campaign. You do this over and over. When you get to the Gloomhaven side of things, there's branching paths, so your playthrough is not going to be the same, you know. But it's a really fun board game. Really fun. I've enjoyed it so much. Me and my wife play that just kind of randomly here and there.
You know, I know most of your time, you know, we'll be talking with your employees and things like that for the store. So it's good to hear that you have that time to be able to still dedicate it to things you enjoy doing, you know, getting that time to get a break away from the store.
Yeah, you do have to take a break, because what you try not to happen is that it starts to feel like a job, you know, and there's mixed opinions about a job, I guess. You know, people go to work and just don't enjoy themselves. You know, it's one thing to play games because you enjoy them. It's another thing to play games because you have to, you know, and that it started to feel like I had to, and it started to take a toll on me.
And that's understandable too. Yeah. When it becomes just like a job, and the reason you got into it kind of loses its luster and the fun, you know, it can wind up becoming too overwhelming. So I'm glad to see that you have that balance of what you wanted compared to the early days when you were having to live it and you didn't have any time for yourself. So I'm glad that it's fleshed itself out now to where it's an enjoyable thing again. That's great to hear.
It was difficult. Those times when I felt like I had to play, I wasn't enjoying these games anymore. And it just made me become an introvert, I guess, with the whole thing. And there was a part where I was like, I don't even want to go to Anubis anymore, because I know I got to do this. And just you know, of course, you know, just with any kind of business, your day doesn't, you know, your day doesn't start when you open a store and it doesn't stop when you close. You know, there's a plethora of things that go on outside of those hours that you have to keep up and manage. And that it's difficult. It's difficult.
What would you say, Darnell, is something you consider, maybe something outside of what we've discussed already, that you consider to be a unique aspect about your store that maybe not every other store has?
One thing we took to heart is we wanted to be a jack of all trades, master of none, you know? So one thing I wanted to do, I find that a lot of stores don't bring in video games, which is weird because I feel like they kind of go hand in hand, but
mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting you had.
Yeah, we carry video games along with Gundam models, which are, you know, if any of you game store retailers are listening to this, bring Gundams into your store. They are a heaven sent. Bring Gundams into your store. Yeah, that's another awesome thing that, you know, we just have a wide selection of products just for whatever your gaming needs are, whatever your interests are. We also carry like choose your own adventure books. Stuff like that. We also, I think we do some of the best Facebook videos, you know, and they're comedic and casual and light in tone. So I think we're the only ones that do like a Pokemon training camp too in the store. So pretty much we noticed that a lot of kids was coming in with fake cards that they got from other people, you know, and they didn't know that they were getting fake cards. So we have a guy come in, shout out to Casey with the narcissist tattoo, but he comes in and he teaches all that stuff. He teaches how to play Pokemon. He teaches how to spot a fraudulent card, you know, whatnot. And we have a bunch of giveaways for it. And it's awesome. And a lot of people come out, a lot of kids come out and enjoy that.
That's excellent to hear. And for somebody like me who hasn't been to the store yet, how would you describe the layout of it? So somebody walks into the door, how would you paint that picture for somebody listening right now?
Just as far as like where everything is placed and all that stuff?
Sure. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah. So our concept is kind of open. It's just all kind of open. You know, the first thing you kind of see when you go in is like board games along the wall. And in the middle, there's this nice little freestanding thing that holds various board games. To the left, you would kind of see our singles and all our cards and all that. Behind that is our video game section. That's where we have our consoles kind of displayed there, and anything ranging from Nintendo all the way to PS5 we carry, and most things in between. Across from that, we have a large selection of dice. And behind that is our role-playing games. And in the back of the store, we have our, not the back of the store, but back in the retail side of, we have our Warhammer and our Gundam models in the back. And back there, we have two 6x4 tables for Warhammer player or whatever else. But mostly it's for Warhammer. And we have eight tables that seat six each for people to play in. And we have two bathrooms, non-gender.
And with the store as a whole, everything you're doing today, what would be one wish list item you have? And you could feel free to say something, you know, that you feel that you're saving up for, or it could be something that, you know, if money wasn't an option, which we all know money plays a factor in everything, but if there was something that you would love to see happen at some point, what might that be for Anubis?
It's not so much a financial thing. It's more of a space thing. But if I had the space to do it, I'd have a land center too.
Oh, that would be a very cool concept. And I mean, you figure you already have the, you know, the video games too. So it kind of goes hand in hand.
Right. You know, a perfect world. I'm not sure how feasible this is, but I would want a small micro center. Just a small micro center, very small, just a section where we sell computer parts, maybe. There was also a part of me that thought that we could sell 3D printing products in there too. You know, I don't see many game stores that offer they offer 3D printing services, but not the products. You know, a lot of people already have access to it and just don't have anywhere locally to get it. So I also looked into that.
Excellent. And as we wrap up here, Darnell, it's been a pleasure getting to talk with you. Is there anything you'd like to tell people listening further about the store? Where can they find the store if they'd like to, you know, connect with you to find out what you guys are doing, or just anything else in general you'd like to share?
Yeah. So the best place to find us is on Facebook. Facebook.com/AnubisGameHobby is the best way to reach us. Or give us a call, man. 337-484-3141. Man, just come check us out, man. It's a friendly atmosphere. It's for everybody, you know. And come, if you check out our Facebook videos, come and check out Ty, man. Ty is awesome and such a free-flowing personality, you know, and funny. So come for just Tyler. Tyler's kind of like Anubis's our mascot almost.
That's great. Glad to hear. Like, there's definitely a camaraderie at the store. I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah, we've all been together for years now, all of us.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you once again, Darnell. I do appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate that. This was fun.
Likewise. I had a great time doing it. And for everybody else listening, if you'd like to keep in touch with what we're doing here on the program, you can join up on our newsletter at thematchslip.com/newsletter. If you do sign up, there's a 15% discount code to our store at thematchslip.com/shop. Or if you'd like to just support what we're doing, you could do so at patreon.com/thematchslip. And with that being said, I want to thank you for listening. Thanks again to Darnell for coming on. Support your local game store, and we will talk to you all in the next episode. Take care. Thank you.